everyone. This is Kathleen Francis, host of Wise Women on Progressive Radio Network. And I'm very happy to be here today with a guest that we've had on before, to our delight. And we're doing a follow-up on some of the things that we had talked about previously with Dr. Ann Consorti. She is a very highly celebrated nutritionist and chiropractor. She is someone who actually trains and coaches other chiropractors, and it has been my great pleasure to be a patient of hers. The only problem being a patient of hers is once you've had the experience of her work, anyone else pales in the aftermath of any further treatments as far as chiropractic is concerned. So Ann was in the community here in the Verde Valley, in the Cottonwood and Sedona area for a number of years, and we had the privilege of having her care. And then she and her husband, Jim, went to East Texas, to Nacogdoches. And so with that, I want to welcome Dr. Ann Consorti. Ann, thank you so much for being on our show again. Hi, Ann.
Hi. Well, you're welcome, and thank you for that more than kind, uplifting introduction. I thank you.
Well, we miss you over here. That's for sure. All of your people that were your patients are, if we run into each other, we just look at each other. Oh, she's gone. So we are doing our best to survive without you. But what's always been wonderful, and you have your own podcast as well, and you're doing such good work. And what was exciting about what you and your husband took on, you decided Texas was the state for you, and you chose a wonderful location in East Texas, and you bought a 25-acre farm. And that's the topic today that we want to bring into the conversation and bring more further information about the possibilities of what you and your husband Jim have created there, and see what your progress is to date, and make sure that people know how to listen to your podcasts so that people can learn from you and take on the mantle of what you're creating, because it's such an important part now of our new existence, the new reality of this world today. Would you agree?
Yes, I would absolutely agree.
So stepping a day at a time with holding God's hand and hoping that we won't lose that grip good and tight to see where we have to make our pathway in this new world, so to speak. So, and
remove ourselves and separate ourselves out from this. Oh, did I lose you, Kathleen?
What I want our audience to know is we're actually talking to you at your farm through the phone. And so it sounded a little bit like you were dropping out a bit, so I hope we can keep our connection clear enough so that people can enjoy what you have to say. So you were saying, Ann, that what you and your husband Jim did?
Oh, yeah. No, I was saying that, yes, we were led to East Texas. It chose us. I really have to say that. And we followed the call. You know, when you get that nudge, you got to go. And here we are reinventing ourselves, I guess, you know, because we were pretty happy in Cottonwood, Arizona. Nice little practice, doing our gardening there. And yes, we developed this. We had the ability to find this amazing farmland. And we are gardening it, and our vision is growing each step of the way. And we are moving into creating a food forest throughout the farm, and to bring, at some point to bring in livestock, bigger livestock, because we right now have rabbits and chickens, but we are looking more towards sheep and maybe a dairy cow or something along those lines. Because one of our ultimate goals is to see how separated out we can become without having to step foot in the food store all year long. It's quite a challenge, and I know it can be done, and that's really an important part and an important thing for us to all become aware of, because we do have to separate ourselves out for many reasons. One of them is because of the quality of the food that we find in the food store. The second is because the quantity of farms that they seem to be destroying, or that our illustrious evil one, Bill Gates, has been buying up. I think he owns more farmland than the Americans. And that's scary, because we know if he is farming, he's not farming in any way, shape, or form that you're going to want to eat it. However,
Who is that? I'm sorry. You dropped out a little bit. Who owns more farmland than Americans?
Oh, Bill Gates.
Oh.
I don't consider him an American.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So I think our mission is to be able to provide for ourselves and work in community with each other, and to start making those outreaches. So our farm is growing beautifully, literally and figuratively. It is definitely growing. And that is one of our missions. Now, I mean, that doesn't happen overnight, and we have to start somewhere. And it starts with one seed in the ground and one seed or idea in your mind to move yourself away from that. And we can, you know, talk about the many different reasons why one would want to farm. One of them would be the quality of the food. Another is because of what they are doing to our food, not only the food supply, but the food itself. And then the third is because we need to be self-sufficient. We were a self-sufficient, self-sufficient people. We started out that way. There's no reason we can't do that again. So we're out to find out how they did it and do it our way with some farm equipment rather than an ox. That's a blessing.
So are you talking about in the olden days where you didn't even use a tractor, but you're going to use animals on the farm to do the heavy work?
No, what I'm saying is we don't have to do that anymore. We do have tractors, so we can do it in the modern version, which makes it way easier on us, right?
Right.
So that's what we're talking about.
Tell us about your podcast that you're currently, doing on a regular basis, so that people know where to, get deeper cuts of information. Because I know, and I love the way you sometimes you do very short ones, which I think is just perfect, because a lot of times attention span for people is a little bit compromised for them to listen, to a full hour podcast like ours is not always the easiest thing for people, to take that time. So tell us about your podcast.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I think people listen in 90-second snippets and then they check out, then they check in. So yes, we try to do them short, sweet, and to the point. Our mission through our podcast is to share our journey and to give you ideas of what you can do, whether you have a farm, a backyard, an apartment, or, you live in a tent. There's many different ways you can do this, and it doesn't have to be on the scale that we are, and our scale is by no means massive, but it's certainly bigger than your backyard garden. And in the podcast, we talk about our journey and how we got to where we got. If you follow through all of the videos, it brings you through. We have a video on tincturing, where we found what the rest of the world would call the weed that grows on our farm. That's actually very, very highly medicinal. And that is a big focus of the farm at this point, too. We have about 40 different medicinals growing on the farm. And we had the opportunity to have my first crisis care patient and use the herbs that were growing on the farm to the best of the ability that I had them growing, because, of course, you know, you have to grow and get to that point. And so our podcast is Health Petal, is the name of it. And we chose the name because it's an offshoot of the word hospital, where that's all about death and destruction. And Health Petal is about the petals of health and how we can go back to nature as God intended for us to heal from above down and from the inside out. So that podcast can be found on, I guess that's called, is it a website or a server called Brighteon, Brighteon.com. It's a free speech platform that has its own servers, and the owner of that is Mike Adams, who is a food scientist, microbiologist. He's amazing. And he put this together because he's been completely censored. He can't get on any of those other channels, even to this day. Even with the illustrious Elon Musk, he's still not been activated on Twitter. So, however, we are on Brighteon supporting the free speech. I don't like to support that which is against us and trying to root us out. So that's where you can find us. If you go to Brighteon.com, you can sign up for their emails if you want, or you can pass that and just go to the search bar and type in Health Petal, HealthPetal, and we should pop up right there. And you could go to our channel. Please like, share, subscribe, and get the word out. It's really, really, really important, especially now, because they're undermining, they own the FDA, and what's FDA approved isn't necessarily healthy for you. So,
I mean, it's sad because, you know, I mean, we, the overlying attitude or expectation was always that the government and the agencies were there to help and protect us. And now it's clear that it's quite the opposite, that, you know, we have to find the more truthful information that, of course, Gary Null every day disseminates this critical information out into the ethers. And he was just, you know, recently again given a wonderful certificate, an award for his long-standing radio program that has been invaluable to the millions that are listening, and all of his hosts, you know, again, created Wise Women for me and for all of us to be able to bring pertinent information like what we're doing today. And basically, you know, what you're saying, well, what is clear is all of the, you know, we can't trust, we can't trust the medical, the agencies that are supposed to be making sure that we're okay and safe. It's quite the contrary. Everything is driven, as we know, by the dollar. And it seems that those in power have found that their opportunity to turn the human race into their grand experiment. So we have become, you know, their guinea pigs, their petri dish for their own exploitation and experimentation. And, you know, most of us have to fight to find the truth. And we have to recognize that many people simply don't have the awareness nor the wherewithal to know that there are alternative ways to discover what the truth is. And, of course, that has been a great heartache for so many of us, to know that the things that we talk about and that we commiserate about are not always something that those people that we love and care about either have interest in or have an opposing opinion, and unfortunately bought into the you know, the narrative, the propaganda that dominates the so-called airwaves of media currently creating what has been, what has become for many of us a very foreign situation that we're all trying to find our way through. And so what you and Jim are doing is demonstrating something that can be duplicated by the people that have an interest, and that hopefully so many more people can begin to be pioneers in that way, and not only duplicate what you're doing there, but to duplicate even the outreach that you and Jim have created. Because, kind of, I don't know if this quote from the Bible applies, but, you know, Jesus said the things that he does or and did, we could do, and that much more. So I guess this is the that much more that we're able to do. I don't know if that's a good example, but, you know, we have to find our way away from what we seem to be a part of at this moment. Your comments?
Yeah, exactly. And like, we don't need to roll over. We can stand up and say no. And those words work. No, they're just bullies. And it's like any other bully. Once you stand up to the bully is not that big of a bully. If you just know and have in your heart that I'm just not going to comply with what isn't good for me or my family. And to that, you know, it all starts locally. And if we get together on a local level and take back our communities, and then ultimately, if each community takes themselves back, we take back our state. Now, each state is sovereign, so we have to do the grassroots steps. We can't wait for someone to do something for us, right? We have to be the one percenter, because 99% of people just want to sit home and have everything go back to normal. There is no normal. There is no going back to normal, because normal wasn't even what it was. Normal was you being deceived into a reality that is unreal. It's just evil and wrong. And, you know, so we can take those things back. And one of the things we can do is grow our own food. I mean, God gave us water, dirt, and seeds. So it's very simple to feed yourself if you just take an initiative. And that's what we're doing on the farm. And one of the things I do want your listeners, and actually the whole world, to know is, and I'm pretty sure, but I'm not so definitely sure, that on PRN that they've maybe brought this up, but there's a new product called Appeel, APEEL. Have you heard of it?
No. See, the one.
So Appeel was honestly and lovingly developed by a scientist who used the chemicals or the ingredients of the orange, grapefruit, lemon peels, and there is a substance in there that he would condense down, and he found that he could coat your fruits and vegetables with it, and it would get a longer shelf life. Now, that sounds pretty unassuming. And going based on that, Appeel has been bought by Gates and Oprah. So we know right now it's no longer what it was. And what they've done is they've created a polymer that mimics that in the lab that you could never wash off your fruit. And because it's based on a natural product, which they deemed unsustainable because you need a ton of, you know, grapefruits and oranges and whatever, or peels, right? They've created this polymer in the lab. You know, you can just see them cackling in the back in the lab. Ha, 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 we're going to get them with this. And they put it on the vegetables. And because it's based off of something natural, apparently the FDA, the Food and Drug Assassination Committee, is able to coat even the organic vegetables with it. So
our
food supply, yeah, oh my God is right. They're coming at us in every direction. And of course, there's a startup company that is, that this is a startup company that's not either one of their names is on it, but they funded the startup company for appeal. And they're really pushing it. And right now, Costco and even Kroger's on the list, and Whole Foods, and I don't know, there's a whole list. If you look it up, appeal, that you can see who they are going to be marketing. But Costco got the first contract for their avocados. So you have to look at the labels. You have to see if that appeal logo is there. You can look them up on the website. You can see their logo, so you're aware of it. But this is what they're doing. They're sliding in, and we don't even know it. And so,
yeah, I know.
Again,
that's what you just said. They're coming at every possible way that they can, you know, engineer their war on the people, every possible opportunity. They don't, you know, it's like an onslaught of different ways to shoot arrows into the heart of the people and continue their agenda that has nothing to do with our well-being. That just infuriates me. So it's the APPEAL or it's APEAL?
Neither. It's APEEL.
Ah, okay. Well, that's just, you know, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Right.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's scary, too, and it's unnerving. And so, again, you know, join the 1%ers. Take a stand. Do something different. You can't trust what you're eating. You don't know what's on it. You don't know what's in it. I mean, they even sell to the food chains, like, this is an organic substance. Well, it does, organic doesn't mean what you think it means. It has some limitation for toxins to be in there, too. It's just out of control. The only way we can control anything is by either growing it yourself or going to your local farmer's market. Get the local farmers. Support locally. It may cost you more, but is your life worth the extra $5 it may cost you?
Right.
And you have to wait.
Believe it or not, I just bought a cabbage from the local farmer because I got to the, you know, farmer's market a little bit late. So he didn't have, you know, a lot of his product there. The smaller cabbages got sold. So the only one he had left was a 9-pound cabbage. Do you realize how big that is? I should have taken a picture of it. 9 pounds.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm going to buy it. I don't know how I'm going to fit it in the refrigerator, but I bought that because I eat cabbage and I prepare cabbage in the food that I prepare for my dogs, you know, because, you know, they have to be healthy too. And so, yeah. And, you know, and then, of course, I always get a little bit nervous, even at the farmer's market, and hope that, are they really growing it themselves, or are they buying it from source? It's some source that I don't know about. It's, you know, it's terrible that we have to feel so
concerned. Well, we have to ask that's a really good statement, and you have to ask that question.
Yeah. But what are they going to tell you? You know, I asked him. I said to him, you grew this big cabbage? And he said, yeah, you know, he was Hispanic. And I said, okay. And then, you know, and I asked him if he and his family had been vaccinated. And he said, no. And I said, well, sure, you're not. And then I went into my whole litany of my lectures. You know, it's like it's, a lot of people don't want to see me come in because my mouth just doesn't know when to shut up. But anyway.
Right. But yeah, I mean, that's important. Like, and again, a lot of people just don't have the wherewithal or they don't feel they have the time to grow their own. But you can certainly, if you can make it to the food store, you can make time to get to a farmer's market and find those local growers. You're going to need those connections because they're going to try to lock you out of the food stores unless you comply with their will. And I will not do that. So we are growing our own. It's been a fun experience. It's not... you know, it's not easy. You do have to dig and get in the dirt. And yet it's so rewarding and so relaxing and so brings you so connected to God that you can't deny that there's a God. You can't when you watch that little itty bitty, like some of the seeds are so small you can't even see it. the size of the plant that comes out of the seed is unbelievable. Right?
It's exciting to watch something grow that you are nurturing.
Yeah.
You know, well, and there are so many people like, oh, I don't have a green thumb, but it, you know, go find some paint and paint your thumb green. I don't know. You know, get over it.
Well, yeah, or try again. You know, it's a different event than, you know, trying to keep a flower alive than trying to eat when you see the medicinal value of something or the nutritional value of keeping it alive and growing it. There's a different ownership to it than just watering your pretty daisies.
Yeah.
You know? There's a whole different element.
So, yeah, to know that what you're putting in your mouth is something that you took a seed and you spent months as you watched it grow so that you could consume it. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Yeah. So we have a podcast called Hey, Hey, Potatoes. And we've been bringing people here on Hey, Hey, Potatoes. But I'm sorry, I missed that.
What did you say?
I said,
yeah.
We have a podcast. On the podcast, one of them is called Hey, Hey, like H-A-Y, Potatoes. And we bring you through, I think we're on part 3 or 4. I don't know. I haven't uploaded the most recent one. And something simple that anybody could literally almost do anywhere is grow potatoes in hay. So, I mean, we're doing it on the ground, but someone could get themselves like a food crate and pile a bunch of hay on the bottom, put in like potatoes with the eye, cut off a chunk of the eye and dry it for like 24 hours on your counter, and then put it on top of it, that first layer of hay with the eyes up, and then just pack hay on top of it and water it. And you can do it on the balcony and they grow in hay, and that's what we're doing. We did not actually plant them in the ground. We just put them on a big pad of hay and piled hay on top of them. And,
that's so cool.
The video. Yeah, the newest updated video is us actually harvesting just a few of them. They're not exactly ready yet, but we wanted to pull them out instead of waiting the whole, you know, 90 days, because you don't grow overnight. For them to be mature and be able to harvest the whole pack. So that was cool.
How long does it take?
And then,
how long does it take for potatoes to grow?
It's about 90 days. So that's like 3 months.
90 days in the baby.
The good news about potatoes. Yeah. The good news about potatoes is that they're really high in nutritional value and they store really well. Ultimately, you want to leave them in the ground until right before the last frost, and you just harvest as you need while you're going, and then right before the last frost, and they don't freeze, you'll harvest the rest, and you'll have them throughout the winter.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
Simple thing.
Can you do the same with carrots or not?
Yeah, we leave our carrots in the ground. As a matter of fact, we even, unbeknownst to us, because we just thought we harvested everything, we left some carrots in the ground, and we didn't harvest them until this spring. Because all of a sudden, there was like this big carrot. I was like, oh my goodness, we forgot some. So they made it through in the ground, which is cool. Yeah.
Wow.
Beets, you can do that. Most of your root vegetables.
Yeah, interesting. Right, so the root vegetables, they can all be planted in hay or not?
Oh, I don't, you know what? I don't know about the hay aspect. The carrots and the beets are definitely in dirt. We did not experiment with that, but that's a really good thought. except, I don't know, because carrots and beets don't start from a piece of beet or carrot. They start from an itty-bitty seed.
Right. So, and if you put that little itty-bitty seed in like one of those little, you know, those little tiny dirt pot things and let it sprout and then put it in the hay, I don't know.
I don't know. Well, you know what? I like that, and I'm going to put that on our list, and we'll experiment in the hay pile with the potatoes next year. We'll throw some beets in.
Actually, not even next year.
We'll throw some beets in the fall. We're going to do potatoes again. We'll probably start a new bed in August.
Because
it's hot, I think, and
the fun thing is, with anybody that wants to take on, you know, the growing project, you can experiment with different things. You have an opportunity to, let's try this or let's try that, and then see if something works or doesn't work, and share that information with others, just like you've done with, you know, the potatoes and the hay.
Right. Yeah. And we have some exciting things coming up. We're getting ready to actually set up our website and start our outreach. We're going to be working with a local private homeschool school of about 200 students and working with them as, you know, health pedal and also as master gardeners in Nacogdoches, because we're part of that. We are certified master gardeners. And we are going to work with that school to set up a food forest in their yard so that the children in the school can be the planters and the planners and the designers and get them involved in knowing how to do this. So they really have to start with our younger
people.
Yeah. So we're excited about the things that are opening up for us, and our mission really is to help others do what we're doing on whatever scale they want to do it on. And we're getting ready to...
Yeah, it's possible, which could be smaller or larger. That would be so great. Yeah, because my cousin Henry has a farm in northern Wisconsin. Of course, my brother sent me pictures first of his front yard with 18 inches of snow in it. So, you know, their growing season is a little short. But nonetheless, they grow a lot, believe it or not, they grow a lot of corn up in northern Arizona. And extraordinary. Oh, my God. I remember one year when I was home and we went out into the fields to pick it. And I was just eating it off the stalk without it being cooked, just eating it raw. And it was so good.
Mm-hmm.
I ate 16 ears of corn myself that day because it was so good to take it right out of the earth and eat it raw.
It's a whole different taste. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was fun. I mean, I couldn't stop eating. I probably would have eaten another 16 more. I mean, you know, it was that delicious.
Yeah.
These are the rewards of having the ability to actually, you know, and like I know you and Jim do. I mean, you take something out of the ground and you take it home and you eat it. You prepare it raw or cooked.
We eat it or we process it to save it or freeze it. Yeah. We're doing all that. This is a bean and pea picking season, so I don't know. I think we've picked a lot of pounds of green beans, and we've blanched and frozen and eaten, and zucchini is coming out. So, you know, that'll get blanched and jarred and canned and all those different things that you do with it. So we're excited.
Yeah.
And the other upcoming thing is, as our medicinals are growing, we'll be drying and tincturing them, so we'll have those for sale, hopefully by the mid-next year, because it's a process, right? You have to wait for everything to grow.
How wonderful. Wow.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to sell them. Now, are you planning to go to farmers' markets yourselves and, you know, selling what you've grown? Or is that part of your plan?
That was not part of our plan, but that doesn't mean it's not, because quite frankly, our plan has been God's plan. And I have to be honest with you, none of this was planned. So we're just kind of going with his nudge. And Yahweh keeps showing us the way, and we keep stepping. So here I am. We had to it earlier, so I want to follow up and not leave your listeners hanging. But we did have the opportunity to take care of our first crisis care patient with our medicinals. It was our dog. And we were leaving the farm. Yeah, we were leaving the farm, getting into the car, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw her jump in the air, and then I saw a snake, and it happened to be a copperhead. So we probably took care of the copperhead for all those PETA people, but copperheads just don't belong snatching pieces of us. So in the meantime, it didn't look like she got bit, but then all of a sudden, her face blew up. So unbeknownst to the big of the world, because now I'm also a certified herbalist. I took a course on that because I really wanted to understand the herbs, their potential, and all of the things they do. So I did that to really for myself, not to say I have this other credential, but you got to know what you're doing because, you know, herbs are powerful and potent and very useful, but you have to know what drugs they mix with and which they don't, and when if you can have them when you're pregnant or not, and what they do and why they do what they do. So anyway, knowing that she got bit by a copperhead, venomous snake, and the medical profession would have you, you know, wait to see how your body's responding. It is a necrotic type of venom, which means it destroys your tissue cells, right? That's what eats away at you. It's called hyaluronic acid is what's in the venom. And so they have this anti-venom, right, in the medical world, even for people, because the herbalist I took this from is not only a vet and a naturopath, but he's also a certified herbalist who has a whole course. And he, in there, so the medical profession, if you as a patient or even a regular vet had to get this venom, it's very costly and not always, it's not, it's just as harmful sometimes as the venom. It's so ridiculous. And yet, Yahweh or God has it all together. And when you use this tincture or even the herbs, you just eat them, it's echinacea, plantain, marshmallow root, and dandelion, the root and the leaves, and or the flower. When you put those three together, either in tincture or poultice, or you just eat them because you're in the middle of the field, they have the properties. The marshmallow, for instance, helps to heal and repair the tissue rapidly. The echinacea, or even the root rudbeckia, which is a black-eyed Susan, the root and the flower, have hyaluronidase in it, which destroys the hyaluronic acid in the venom and blocks it from destroying your cells, because in between your cells is hyaluronic. It's a substance that keeps the cells together. So the venom destroys the interstitial tissue cells and causes a breakdown of the cells. And then you have your dandelion, which is very cleansing to the blood, but also flushing to the kidney. And you have your, what do we do? Marshmallow, dandelion, rudbeckia. And, oh my gosh, I do this all the time. I'm so sorry. What was my fourth one? Hold on. Marshmallow, echinacea, dandelion. I have the four in the beginning. Why did they leave me?
Yeah, I wanted to do that again with the list of them, too. So it was marshmallow, echinacea, dandelion, and the one that you were explaining.
Marshmallow, echinacea, dandelion. Oh, and rudbeckia. No, I said marshmallow.
How do you spell that?
Dandelion. Marshmallow? Just like the white marshmallow. They used to make marshmallows out of the root of that plant.
Yeah, and the other one, the rudbeckia, whatever that was.
Oh, rudbeckia, that's a black-eyed Susan, and they're cousins to the echinacea. And actually, the Rudbeckia or the black-eyed Susan, the flower, has a stronger medicinal property than the echinacea flower. And the root is really what you want in something as serious as a venomous snake bite. Then you have dandelion.
Yeah. But the black-eyed Susan
and dandelion
that you have to have. What was the other name for the black-eyed Susan?
Rudbeckia.
How do you spell that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Rudbeckia.
All right, that's what I had. Okay, Rudbeckia. All right. I mean, that's something that probably our listeners, if they're in snake country and they have animals, they should have this on hand.
Right. And the fourth one was plantain. Plantain is also like marshmallow. It's what they call a vulniary. And a vulniary is something that increases cell healing rate. And plantain also, it's the leaf in the plantain that's the medicine. Plantain grows wild everywhere. There's a regular plantain with a small leaf, and then there's Plantago major, which has a big leaf, which gives you way more medicine. So you can buy those seeds. That doesn't naturally grow.
Is that Plantane?
Ein. Just like the, it doesn't bear the fruit, but it's spelled just like the plantain fruit, which is banana-like.
Oh, Plai?
Plantain. Plantain.
Plain. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Got it.
Right. So what I did for Jade was I gathered all those leaves and I rolled them up, I crushed them, I chewed on them, and I spit them out and I stuffed them down her throat until, and mind you, I give her echinacea every day. So I was a little bit more confident because she had that in her, which I think everybody should take some echinacea every day. And it dogs, animals, humans, everybody should take echinacea every day. It's so immune boosting and supportive, especially in this world. And then we went to an emergency vet because, of course, it's a Sunday, and they took her blood and they said they're just going to see if there's any organ or tissue like failure, damage, and there wasn't any. And then they said, well, you can leave her overnight. And I said, well, what are you going to do for her? Well, we'll put her on IV drugs. And I'm like, well, will you give her like an anti-inflammatory? Because that's what, you know, your plantain also does. It's anti-inflammatory. And they said, no, we'll just give her fluids. And I thought, well, no, we'll take her home. And the protocol when you get bit is to use that tincture, which then I made some at home with what I had. And to use that tincture, a quarter of a teaspoon every 3 to 4 hours around the clock for 2 days, and then twice a day for 7 days thereafter. And she is fine, like nothing happened. And it was amazing because they said, now, normally what happens is the swelling just keeps increasing and gets worse before it gets better. And if it's on the face, it could swell and cut off her breathing. And that did not happen to her at all. It just kept getting better and better and better. And by the next morning, her face was barely swollen.
Wow. So you're saying a quarter of a teaspoon how often?
3 to 4 times a day. No, quarter of a teaspoon every 3 to 4 hours.
Okay.
No, I mean, I didn't. I think I gave it to her at 10 o'clock at night, and then I gave it to her at 2 in the morning, and then we're always up at 6, so I then gave it to her again at 6. And I went every 3 to 4 hours from 6 to 10, and then when I woke up in the middle of the night, like I normally do to in this older age bathroom, I also gave her some tincture.
Beautiful. Great. So now
it was an immune experience. Go ahead.
Yeah.
bad for the dog. Vital information to share with other people. And since we're on remedies,
right.
And I know you're always kind of on the cutting edge of things, I happen to have a friend who just contracted COVID. What are you finding as the best remedy if they've been diagnosed and have already gotten COVID? What's your suggestion?
Well, you know, I think whether you're vaccinated, unvaccinated, tested, they have COVID, the test is bogus. We know that. So if they're symptomatic and have some sort of flu or symptom, which is really what it is, because all of a sudden that doesn't exist. However, the protocol that I go with and that I use around the clock, not around the clock, year long, I don't stop, is I take 2 echinacea every day. If I had symptomatic flare-up, I would take 4 to 6 echinacea a day. And then for 4 days on, I take 2 artemisinin annua a day. And if I had a flare-up, I would be doing 4 a day for 4 days and then 10 days off. Actually, that's incorrect. If someone had full-blown COVID or flare-up, which is going to lead us to another short conversation that people can go dive into, I would do 4 artemisinin a day for 5 to 7 days until the symptoms abated. Because artemisinin is an anti-inflammatory, anti-parasitic, anti-helminthic, which means it goes against worms, and it's an antibiotic behavior or pro-immune system. So we know, we've been finding out that these things are more parasitically driven, which is why your ivermectin and hydrochloroquine work. And interestingly enough, your ivermectin's active ingredient is artemisinin annua, which is the part of the wormwood plant, which you can easily grow dry. It's not a delicious tasting drink, but when it's life-saving, anything to taste fine. You could also add like some, you know, dandelion leaf into your tea if you made it as a tea, because you could drink it as a tea and put some honey in there, because honey is very anti-bacterial, viral, anti-everything, right? Honey's amazing.
Yeah.
And you could drink it up. But that would be my protocol. You also, if someone has COVID, you want to support liver function, which would be like a milk thistle. And you want to support kidney balance, which would be dandelion root. And what else would you want to support? I guess your zinc, because for some reason, the spike protein lipid nanoparticle likes to suck the zinc out of the body. So you would do that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, vitamin D. I mean, these are simple, inexpensive solutions that anybody could do. And the world would have it so complicated that you have to do all their expensive whatever. And whatever someone does, do not get remdesivir. They might, you know, come after me with
gadgets.
But remdesivir is known. They give it to shut down kidneys. And when you shut down kidneys, you pretty much end someone's life. So,
correct. I know about that, but you know, shockingly, many people are completely unaware about the dangers of remdesivir. And I think you remember when I had pneumonia and I was in the hospital. You know, there were 2 doctors that spent well over a half hour apiece trying to talk me into it, because the enormous amount of money that they make if they can get somebody to take remdesivir, I think it's like an additional 20% of whatever the bill is. If you take remdesivir, or some ridiculous percentage of your bill becomes added, you know, by the powers that be, to, you know, pay off the bill,
right.
Hospital bill. Pathetic. Yeah. Thank you for that. That's
So those are just a few of our protocols. And if someone does not want to walk themselves through them by themselves, I do nutritional consulting. I will walk people through conditions and work with them. And if someone wanted to get in touch with me, they could email me at healthfennelorganic@gmail.com.
Hang on one second. Sorry for the interruption. Girl.
That's all right.
Okay. So, all right. I really thank you for that. That's something that, again, I mean, sad that we still have to be worrying about, this pandemic. But here it is, you know. Okay. So this is very good.
And the key to it is to eat healthy. I mean, this brings us full circle, because the healthier your body is, the easier it is to combat anything they throw at us. God knew all this was going to happen. And you just walk around outside and there are so many edible medicinal plants that it's crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have yellow dock growing all over our farm, and yellow dock is anti-inflammatory, antibiotic, and it's filled with iron. I mean, it's just so crazy how unaware we are of the value of the plants that we coexist with, and that we walk past them and walk into a doctor's office to get some drug made by some human that's less than godlike. Like, really? Like, you're going to usurp God when it comes to medicine? You can heal yourself. And your quote where Jesus said, you can do as I do, we just use what God gave him. And it's all around us. It doesn't have to look like it doesn't have to be some miraculous thing from the air, because everything down here is miraculous.
And instead of the indoctrination that, the agenda of the globalists have for our children, teach this in schools, for goodness sake. How extremely important is everything we're talking about today to be part of the educational system's curriculum? How much more empowering? But, that's another whole conversation. For sure. So
And if you can't stop rolling over as a parent and letting them do what they want in your schools and make a fuss, or get together with your community, pull the kids out and stop paying your school taxes. It's really simple. We just don't band together because we're afraid.
Well,
you can homeschool your kid.
I don't think people think they can do that. That doesn't even occur to them that that's a possibility. So that's where it's difficult.
If you've got 90% of your town to not pay the school taxes because you don't like what's being done in the school, I'm thinking they might listen. Right?
Yeah.
You can't do it as an individual, but when you do it as a community, that makes a difference.
Yes. Yes. It absolutely does. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
And that's the difference between us and them. They mobilize in mass, and we're like one little unit here, but we're not, because most people are sitting home waiting for it to go back to normal and unwilling to get up and make a difference. And yet, that's what we're called to do right now. We're called to stand up for what is ethically and morally correct. Yeah. What are those Ten Commandments? Yeah. What are those laws and those statutes? Open your dusted Bibles and start reading and start getting back to what really matters in life. This is crazy. Yeah. Do you need a pair of UGG boots and a dang pair of Prada shoes and a Michael Kors pocketbook? Really? At what cost?
Yeah.
And this is the cost.
Yeah.
And here we are. So grow your own. Separate yourself out. Get off of the hamster wheel of that life and create a new life with a community that's like-minded with what you want. And it starts with us.
Yep. Yes. Yeah, that's one of the things that I've always so admired about you and cherished, and any opportunity to spend time with you is your
your feisty Italian position on how things are and how you're going to make that impact that matters. And, you know, that's something that I just checked about you. And we're coming to the closing part of our show, and I can't thank you enough for coming on today and being part of Wise Women. And I think that, you know, especially the content today, I mean, this goes out to not just the women, but the men. I mean, the men have to pick up the shovel and start doing some digging, too, and seeing where
the
contribution that needs to be made. Yes, exactly.
Right. So, and it's always been my quest to, it's always been my quest to light one candle to put out the darkness rather than to curse the darkness. So if I just get one other person to see and do what we're doing, I feel that I've done my job. And if we all got one other person, we could all make a difference.
Perfectly said. And I'm totally in agreement on that. So I send my love your way. I wish you were a little closer. I'd dip over for a cup of coffee, but or your wonderful teas. And we will hope to have you on the show again to once more see what your progress is, because I know as you continue stepping, as you say, you have new discoveries and things to share that really has value. So with that said, Anne, thank you so much again for being on Wise Women.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me. Have a blessed day, everyone. Thank you for engaging.
Yes, for sure. So with that said, everybody, have a wonderful week. Hope to have you come listen again on Wise Women. And with that, I wish you a wonderful week ahead. And one more little bit of information. I do want our audience to listen to our show right after this. Kyle and Rodney have the show called A Different Angle, and it's so worthwhile listening to them. And I hope